This audio file is a production of Chiasmos, the University of Chicago's International and Area Studies Multimedia Outreach Source. For related audio and video, or for more information about the project, please visit chiasmos.uchicago.edu or internationalstudies.uchicago.edu.
First and foremost, I'd like to thank University of Chicago International Office for inviting me to participate in this forum. I'm personally very excited about sharing and learning from a group of wonderful experts from the region, Southern Thailand and the Philippines, about their living knowledge and experiences. That's something which you'd never know by just reading international media, national press, as well as textbook in a classroom. So welcome. And for students of Southeast Asian politics, Southern Thailand and the Southern Philippines offer and share unfortunate similarities. Unlike its neighbor in Indonesia, inter-religious relations remain strained and unsettled. So in Southern Thailand, for instance, we have witnessed an escalation of fresh violence since 2004, which have left more than 100 people killed. So the speaker will discuss more general issue of inter-religious cooperation and possibility and potential reconciliation efforts among various organizations and communities, and also the function of religious institutions at the grassroots level. And for my own self-research reason, I asked the speaker to particularly focus on the issue of provision of welfare programs such as education, protection, and security by various actors in the respective communities. So today, we have four presenters, two from each community. And let me introduce the presenters in order of presentations. First presenter is Ms. Shahana Abdul-Wahid from the Institute for Islamic Studies, University of the Philippines. She will present on a peace-building effort in Southern Thailand and the Philippines. And the second presenter is Mr. Minaram Barapantao from Mindanao State University. He will discuss on welfare and security issues in the Southern Philippines. And third presenter is Mr. Abdulani Sweater from Prince of Songkhla University in Southern Thailand. He will discuss on a peace building effort in Southern Thailand. And fourth and final presenter is Ms. Patama Haminga, and she's from ASEAN Muslim Action Networks and Asian Research Foundation. She will discuss specifically on welfare and security issues in Southern Thailand. And I ask the presenter to limit themselves strictly to 15 minutes. Therefore, we can have more time to take questions and so that we can have discussion in the remaining time.
Good evening, everyone. Assalamualaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh. It is indeed a privilege to be here with you to be sharing some of my experiences in the efforts of young Muslims in our peace-building initiatives in the southern Philippines. So before I start with my talk, I'll be giving an overview of the Muslim-Filipino history, the struggle, and the challenges, so as to give the context of why we have to have peace-building efforts, the current problems of the Muslim-Filipino youth, emergence of the Filipino Muslim youth movement empowerment, peace-building efforts of the Filipino Muslim youth, and our challenges ahead. Most of the Muslims in the Philippines are residing in the southern part of the Philippines, which we call the Mindanao area. So this is the Mindanao area. Most of the residents here are Muslims. There are 13 ethno-linguistic groups in the Philippines who are Muslims, And we also have different languages or different dialects. And the three major Muslim groups are the three, the Maranao, who are basically located in the Lanao area, and the Maguindanao, province and Cotabato, and the Tausug, residing in Sulu area. And the other Muslim groups are the other groups on the other side. There's also a rise of Muslim reverts in the Philippines, and there is a growing number of Balik Islam in the Philippines. The Mindanao population, this is one. In 2005 population, there are around 20 million who are residing in the Mindanao area. 24% of the Philippine population estimated at 84.2, 50% of which are female, and the largest population are residing in the Davao area. And the Caraga region has the lowest population of 2.4 people. Understanding the Filipino Muslim history. Before the coming of the some conquerors of the Philippines, Islam came first through the preachers and traders in the southern part of the Philippines. And they established several institutions, such as economic, political institutions, which we call the Sultanate of Sulu. And after that, there was the Spanish invaded the Philippines for around, and they stayed there for around more than 300 years. And after the Spanish era, come the American period. And the American occupied the Philippines by virtue of the treaty signed between the Spanish and American through the Treaty of Paris in 1898. And eventually, Philippines was granted its independence in 1946. However, the Moro, the Muslims in the south, object to the or do not want to be included in the independence which was given by the American government. And here are the evidence of why the Muslim in the south do not want to be given. They want to preserve their autonomy. In June 1, 1903, the Moro province was created where a head tax, there were massacres of Budaho and other battles in the area. And the 1902, the Philippine Bill recognized the distinction between the Moros, the pagans, and the Christian Filipinos. These are the turning points in the Philippine history. There are different legislative acts which were passed in both in the government and in the Commonwealth era. These are the initiatives. Most of them are land acts. And most Moros, most Muslims in the south did not became landless because they did not avail of the ancestral holdings, or did not have titles for their lands. And because of the struggles of the Moros in the south, there were two groups who emerged. The first one is the Moro National Liberation Front, which was under the leadership of Nur Misuari, which was created in 1972, and another Muslim group, the MILF, or the Moro Islamic Liberation Front. And there were some initiatives, peace talk initiatives of the government to resolve some conflicts in the Mindanao area. From the time of President Marcos to Aquino, to Ramos, Joseph Estrada, and to our current government, which has a very significant contribution in the education sector, which includes the Islamic curriculum in our mainstream education curriculum because of the DepEd Order No. 51 series of 2004. The current situation of the Muslims in the Philippines, particularly in Mindanao, and the Muslims and indigenous peoples, they are in ARMM Region 9 and 12, continue to experience economic, political, social, economic constraints that severely limit their full potential participation development process. And what are the youth issues of the Philippines? They render poor services, poor social services are rendered in the southern part of the Philippines because the central government of the Philippines is located in the upper part or because there are three regions of the Philippines, the Luzon, Visayas, and Mindanao area. But the central government is located in the Luzon area. And the youth concerns in war-torn areas, there is a low education attainment in most areas in Muslim Mindanao, and the employment due to discrimination. The ARMMM, or the Autonomous Region for Muslim Mindanao, 17.5% of the total population, ages 17 to 24 years old, are out of school youth. And the average elementary survival in the area is around 67, is placed at 67.5%. And the illiteracy rate is 32% compared to other areas. So we see that the literacy in these areas are very low. And aside from the educational difficulties, there are also other economic difficulties and social constraints which hinder the Muslim Filipinos to excel in different areas. There is high unemployment rate in this area because of the war and other ongoing conflicts in the Mindanao area. And in other regions, the poorest of all regions in Philippines is located in the south part of Mindanao, which is the region 12, the ARMM area, and 44% of which are below the poverty threshold rate. So it means to say that they live below the poverty rate. Most of the Muslim Filipinos live in the low poverty rate. And there are actually many formations of non-government agencies, and because of the need to address the issues in southern Philippines. And on the part of the youth, we have a strong initiatives to engage in peace-building efforts in order to address some issues of specifically the youth. And these are some organizations which we actually established to address the issues of the Filipino youth. We have the Young Moral Professionals Network, the different the Association of Muslim Advocates, the Muslim Students Association, the Moro Christian People's Alliance, the Muslim Youth Leaders Assembly, the Silsila Dialogue Movement, the Youth Program, which is actively participates in different interfaith dialogues, the Peace Education Center, and the Grassroots Peace Resource Center. And the general objectives of these youth formations are to address the pressing issues of discrimination, violence, and illiteracy. Most of the Muslim Filipinos who graduate from college and go to, for example, in Luzon and Visayas are getting some discrimination prejudices. If you have a Muslim name, for example, Abdullah Abubakar, you will not be employed because of your name. Or sometimes, if a woman refuses to take off her veil for work, she usually, in the first initial step, she will be rejected because of her refusal to take off her hijab. And to propose solutions to problems confronting the Moro youth. We believe that the youth should be the force, or should take an active role in addressing the issues of conflict in southern Mindanao, to provide services to the youth, especially to the out-of-school youth, and to be actively involved in political, religious, social issues of the Moros. So there are different areas which these organizations address. And the initiatives and youth initiated projects are in the following areas. We have the religious side. We also, in the under-religious side, we have different activities, the livelihood programs, civic-oriented. We also have active participation in policy-making and youth empowerment, or we also do some leadership trainings for our government, for our youth. And these are some of the projects we initiated. We invited some of our Christian brothers and sisters to join us in the masjid cleanup because we see that it is also crucial for our Christian brothers and sisters to know the fundamental teachings of Islam. So we want them to be integrated in our culture to foster better relationship with them. And we also have medical missions in non-Muslim areas. So we get some medical doctors or medical Muslim students to do some medical missions in these areas. Livelihood seminars for Muslim women. Peace assemblies and parliament. We hold some assemblies and parliament to do some resolutions to address the problems, pressing issues of not only the youth but also the community. We also have some initiatives in legislative. We also do some lobbying. For example, we also lobbied for the pass of an act which eliminates the use of Muslim. In any newspapers, news, for example, if one criminal, for example, if a Muslim committed a crime, usually it will be stated that a Muslim committed this one. But if non-Muslim will commit the an act, it will not be stated concretely. So we lobbied actively for this to eliminate discrimination, even in the media sector. We also have initiated some the International Ramadan Fair, and we invited our. It is usually held in the Ramadan month, usually at the end of the Ramadan. We invite our Christian brothers and sisters, and even others, other sectors, to actually go to our exhibits. To see the rich culture of the Muslims. So in a way, we also open it. We open the gates to proper to more understanding and deeper appreciation of our culture. And we also have some initiatives in interfaith dialogue. We invite some we invite some important personalities in different sectors, in religious sectors, and we also invite mostly students from different religious organizations, to actually take active role in this to discuss pertinent and crucial issues. And we also have we regularly conduct roundtable discussion, leadership, and peace building seminars to not only to youth inside the campus, but most especially to outside, out-of-school youth. We train students inside the classroom or inside the campuses, and we ask them to go to the communities to actually deliver some seminars and peace-building projects. And the challenges confronting the Moros, we still have our different problems, but hopefully, with these initiatives and with these initiatives, we will be able to overcome these challenges. And these are the challenges we often encountered in the formations. Consistency of project implementation, because most of the organizations do not have consistency in their implementation. We have some problems in organization with regards to financing our projects in these areas. Mobilization and participation of Muslim Filipinos, because we believe that there are only small group of Muslim Filipinos who actually engage in these areas, and availability of resources. Sometimes we don't get enough funding or enough support from the government, and even some of our officials. So we really have a hard time in addressing these issues. And the challenges that we have are this. We want to have a sustainable development. We want to have projects which are sustainable so that we will be able to train more youth to be open-minded and not only to engage Muslims but also others, other members of their community, especially our Christian brothers and sisters and other religions, and resolving conflict through non-violence engagements. So we believe that it is not through conflict or through violence that we can actually address the issues of conflicts or conflicts in our Mindanao area, and we believe there should be a continuing engagement in interfaith dialogues and even in the ranks of the youth. And we believe that we have to promote peace in order to attain development in our community, because it's only through our efforts, through the efforts not only of the youth but also of the entire community, that we can attain peace not only in Mindanao but also in other parts of our world. Thank you very much.
Good evening, friends, ladies and gentlemen. Peace be upon you all. Assalamualaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh. The topic that I will be discussing to you is about welfare and security issues in southern Philippines. And if we look at the map of the Philippines, Philippines is composed of three major islands: the Luzon, the Visayas, and Mindanao. And the southern Philippines is located down there, and those are the regions that comprises southern Philippines. What are the principal root causes of the conflict in southern Philippines? Moro or Muslim problem, Mindanao problem, and misunderstanding. We have to differentiate the difference between the Moro, the Muslim problem, and the Mindanao problem. The Moro problem is part of a bigger problem, the Mindanao problem, but the Moro problem is a very delicate one. And as you can see in the table, the root causes of the Moro problem is social, cultural, and economic, while the Mindanao problem is about socio-economic and political or politics. Moro problem has to do with poverty, illiteracy, poor education, poor health condition, landlessness, lack of incentives, and other social ills. While Mindanao problem has to do with socioeconomic disparities in social and political life, socio-political struggles of the Muslims for identity, freedom, justice and prosperity, and Muslim alienation. The nature of the concern, moral problem is about social concern involving all the Muslims. Political concern preoccupying the leaders under the Mindanao problem, and the effect of the resolution or resolving the problem, it can remove a major prop of the Mindanao problem, meaning if we confront the Moro problem, we can solve a bigger part of that Mindanao problem. But solving the Mindanao problem may be irrelevant to the so-called Moro problem. The Moro problem, as you can see in the table, well, I have discussed this already. Now, the Moro Rebellion is now the Christian-Muslim misunderstanding. But of course, the Moro Rebellion can be traced to as far back as American occupation. This was discussed already by Sahana, when the colonizers prevented the Moro people's democratic participation in local administration. Instead, it allowed only foreign and Filipino elites to participate in the region's politics. The American colonizers also crafted policies and programs that sequestered ancestral lands, voided sultanate property, and awarded deeds to landless families from Luzon and Visayas. Now, I wanted to make it clear that the Muslims in the Philippines have nothing against the American people. We have nothing against the American people, but what we are objecting to are the policies of the U.S. government that are repressive. So during the Commonwealth period, the Filipino administration still adhered to the previous colonizer system, further neglecting the plight of the Muslims, and this ignited the Bangsamoro separatist movement in the late 1960s, such as the Moro National Liberation Front, or MNLF, chaired by Normie Swari, the shortly Bangsamoro Liberation Front, or BMLO, of the late Sultan Rashid Lokman, and the Moro National Liberation Front, headed by the late Hasim Salamat, which broke away from the MNLF in 1977. Now, as you can see, another dimension in the Mindanao problem is the Christian and Muslim misunderstanding. The Moro struggle has continued for almost four centuries. It is true that this conflict has many ingredients and has many causes: ethnic hostilities, economic rivalry, and political antagonism. But all these reasons are radically different from the understanding of each side as to what the conflict is all about. Muslims look at the problem from one angle and the non-Muslims from another angle. This is started when the Spaniards made some missions in Mindanao to conquer the Muslims in Mindanao. They were able to conquer Luzon, they were able to conquer Visayas, and now they shifted to Mindanao. The Muslims there resisted. And what happened? The Spanish government at that time utilizes Christians from Luzon and Visayas as soldiers. And so you can see that it is now becoming a fight between Filipinos. Filipinos from Luzon, Filipinos from Visayas, attacking the Filipinos in Mindanao. And so from that time on, up to now, there still exists that misunderstanding. In other words, there are two sides of the Mindanao conflict, one that we can see and the other one we cannot see. The visible one refers to the armed conflict. The invisible one is the misunderstanding. You don't see it, but it is there. And according to Father Lyson, the invisible war going on for more than 300 years is more complicated and more dangerous than the visible one. Because for all you know, you may be kissing the hands of your neighbor, but you wanted to kill him. And we do not see it. It is inside. And so there you are. There are two arenas of the peace process, the vertical and the horizontal. The vertical one refers to the talks between the government of the Republic of the Philippines and the MILF, so do with the MNLF. There was already a final peace agreement signed by the government of the Republic of the Philippines and the MNLF in 1996. But there were lots of provision in that agreement that has not been implemented up to now. As far as GRP and MILF is concerned, the talk is still ongoing. Now, the parties to the talks as far as the invisible dimension of the problem should be within and among communities. And this is where interfaith dialogue comes in. Very important in that aspect. So as you can see, there are two ways of looking at the problem, the visible one and the invisible one, and because they are interrelated, there has got to be a comprehensive solution to the problem. If we neglect the other dimension of the problem, we shall remain to be in conflict. Of course, there are responses. All the Philippine government, and I have divided this into two, before the Mindanao Rebellion in the 1970s and after the Mindanao Rebellion. Before the Mindanao Rebellion, the government has established the Commission on National Integration, that this is basically on scholarships. And many became lawyers, engineers from the cultural minorities. The Mindanao Development Authority and the Mindanao State University. After the Mindanao Rebellion, the Muslim personal laws were codified. Philippine Amanabang were established, but later on it was declared by the president as NPA, meaning non-performing asset. It has to be abolished and replaced by the Al Amana Islamic Investment Bank. Southern Philippines Development Authority is still there. We have the Office on Muslim Affairs. Recently, there is a bill filed in Congress to change or to abolish the Office on Muslim Affairs because Office of Muslim Affairs was created by virtue of an executive order by the president. And congressmen were planning to convert Office on Muslim Affairs into a commission on Filipino Muslims. So in other words, it will be created now by Congress. And then we have the autonomous region is in Muslim Mindanao, which are already in place. If we look at the table now, this is now the peace talks between the government and the MNLF and between the government and the MLF. There was already an agreement signed by the government and the MNLF, 1996 final peace agreement. Its legal basis is the Tripoli Agreement in Libya. And Republic Act 1954 was enacted, creating the autonomous region in Muslim Mindanao. It was through a regional consultative convention that the Organic Act was created. On the other hand, GRP and MILF are still talking up to now. And a counterpart of the Tripoli Agreement are the talking points, which we still do not know what is inside. And as a counterpart of the final peace agreement, we have the Comprehensive Compact, ARMM. Instead of the ARMM, we are establishing the Bangsamoro juridical entity. And it will be through a regional consultative commission. The problem is that the government wanted MNLF and MILF to join hands because as you can see, it will be very difficult for the government to be making one solution to, I mean, two solutions to one problem, because all the two stands for one basic vision. Now, If we look at the table, based on my has to be redefined. And based on my readings, basically from Robert Allman and the others, the two columns there are the are their definition of what security should be. So the third one, the fourth column, is what I believe should be the definition of security as far as contemporary times is concerned and as far as the Southern Philippines is concerned. And as you can see, we are approaching it holistically, rationalizing it, and lasting peace and sustainable development. Well, I might just as well, of course, there are security threats. It's there. Since MILF and MNLF is still talking with the government, I do not consider them as yet as a threat to the Philippine government. But we do have Abu Sayyaf and the Jamaa Islamiyah, and I think you know that. They have been in the papers many times. My recommendations are as follows. Institution of Philippine National, that's the government's response to the security threats. RPU is military exercises based on the Visiting Forces Agreement and Human Security Act. This is the anti-terrorism law. Many are objecting to this because it has many provisions that goes that is against the basic principles. Like, for instance, the basic principle that a person is presumed innocent unless until proven guilty is otherwise in that law. But it's now in effect and it's smooth and academic. So here are my recommendations. You can just read. Okay, I think we need your help. The last time that we had a talk with Father Barnett, Jim Barnett of the St. Thomas Aquinas, last Saturday with other church and local leaders of the Lafayette, they promised to help us. Maybe, according to him, we can influence the U.S. government to change their foreign policy. And maybe in this hall, you can also do something. But if ever you cannot do anything, please pray for us. Thank you.
My topic is peace building in southern Thailand. And further up on, Thailand is located in Southeast Asia, along with Burma or Myanmar, Laos, Cambodia, Malaysia. I think all of you know about this. And in southern part of Thailand, which is a conflict area, where we know is the Muslim area. In this area, Muslim is about 80%. In southern border province, there are 33 districts in Pattani, Yala, Narathiwat province. 10,927 square kilometer in this area. Total population is 1,748,000 and 882. Muslim about 80% of total population in these three provinces. Buddhist is about 20%. The southern border provinces, defined by government, is consisted of four border provinces, namely Pattani, Yala, Narathiwat, and Stun, and including also some districts of Songkhla province, namely Thepa, Sabayoy, Nathawi, and Chana. And all of this area, 44 districts and 16,409 square kilometers. Muslim total of Muslim is 62%. In this area, Muslim, which are the last population, need right and freedom to practice their own religion. The problem facing by the Muslim 80% to 90% go to poverty, injustice, communication with Thai officials. Problem caused by the Thai officials. Statistics of the violence from January 4, 2004 to February 16, 2007. Violence happened 6,272 times in 293 villages. It's about 78% of four provinces. Injured and dead, 9,285 person. It was Buddhist, 3,134, about 59.14%, and Muslim also 2,054, about 38.76%. General situation in 2007, only this year, we have the violent habit is hard in this year. The violence happened in three provinces, 1,228 times, average 3.4 times a day. In June, 2,362 person, or average 6.5 person a day. More than 1/4 of these number days, average 1.7% a day. The most critical area is Mueang Yala district, where most of the incident happened on the local road during 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. and during 8 p.m. to 9 p.m. Two-thirds between 15 to 44 years, and more than 80% men. And Buddhist 57% and Muslim 63%. There are possible root cause of the conflict. We can call it a 4B. Because it including background, belief, benefit, bureaucracy. And for background, it including to different of ethnic city, and different of historical background, which there are two different historical background, and Malay Muslim always claim their own state. We go to two group of people in this area. There are Buddhists and Muslims. So we believe there are different kind of belief in this area. Another thing, benefit is including resources in this area. And drug trading. And another thing is happened also it because of budget of administration in every year, because it give money to this area billion and billion. William Casey, in this area 80% of William Cake is Buddhist and 20% is Muslim. So it's not balanced between people in this area and the bureaucrats in this area is different. Conflict actor, we see state, government, people, and insurgent. And always people are buffer of this problem, of this conflict always. People in this conflict are the victim, always are the victim of government and insurgent group. So it's the main actor in this conflict, as we see. Challenge for peace building. This is my topic today, to see how we can do for peace building, or how we can do for future of our country and our people. Challenge for peace building. Peace building means to prevent newly emerging minor armed conflict from becoming full-scale war, and also to prevent all type of conflict from becoming violent, and make a socialization and institutionalization of peace and peaceful ideas and consolation. For peace building, we have three types of actors, which there are three levels. Level one, top leadership. There are military, political, religious leader with high visibility. And in this level, we focus on high level negotiation and pacific ceasefire led by highly visible single mediator. Level two, middle-range leadership. Leader respected in sectors, ethnic, religious leader, academic, intellectual, humanitarian leader. In this level, we focus to problem-solving workshop, training in conflict resolution, peace commission, insider party and team. And for level three, grassroots leadership, local leaders, leader of indigenous community developer, local health official, refugee camp leader. And in this level, we focus on local peace commission, grassroots training, prejudice reduction, physical, psychosocial work in post-war trauma. And it is the same with the past. And we see the high level is going to negotiation if there are any group and any government to do or to make the policy toward the conflict area. And level two, problem solving workshop. And local peace commission is go to level three. Peace building strategy. Developing a peace inventory. Who is doing what kind of peace activity? By doing joint research, convening a conference, creating better channel and coordination vertically and horizontally, organizing peace donor conference, relay share information, coordinating activity, and so on. In southern Thailand, we try to make peace network, and this organization is still going on to do its work. There are Southern Thailand Peace Network, or we know as STPN, which including 5 universities. First university is Prince of Songkhla University, Pattani Campus. Prince of Songkhla University in Hat Yai Campus. It is the same university, but a different campus. Yala Islamic University in Yala Province. Thaksin University, it is Thaksin, it mean south. It's not mean Thaksin Chinawat anymore. In Songkhla Province, Hat Yai University in Songkhla Province also, Yala Rajapat University in Yala Province. STPN activity. This organization already establishment of student peace cup in every university and training student leader in peace study and conflict management. Development of peace curriculum among STPN members. Organizing peace national and regional seminar and conference. It is a College of Islamic Study, where with a member is member of the STPM and has a role of its own. There are 4 levels of work in College of Islamic Study for peace building. Student Affairs, Lecturer, and Executive Committee, and at the grassroots of community. Student activity for peace building jointly organizing with STPM member for Wellington University for teaching and accolade for personal young youth under 15 year old who involved with drug and violence. Program of interfaith dialogue, Muslim Buddhist student interfaith dialogue within university. Between Muslim and Buddhist student leader from Thailand and student leader from Malaysia, there are interfaith dialogue between them. This program is started last year and still going on. Lecturer activity for peace building, Project Thai-Malay Intellectual Dialogue, International Peace Building from Valiant Experience, Project Joy Research working between CIS from Thailand and UUM Northern University in Malaysia, and teaching workshop for conflict resolution, conference, and so on. for executive committee activity to advise and give attention to every government policy which dealing to the conflict, to be representative of Muslim community in Thai parliament, establishment of grassroots leader network. Grassroots activity, understanding the pure teaching of Islam, youth training camp, children training camp, women short course training, religious sermon in every Friday and Eid al-Fitr and Eid al-Adha. Thank you for your attention.
About this. Welfare and security issue in southern Thailand. Sorry. Okay. This is the number of dead and injured from 2004 to 2007. We can know this that is increasing every year. What is the initiative of the government on the situation? First, the government sent more than 30,000 soldiers from the central part into the conflict area. Soldiers' duty give protection to people and government officers, especially teachers who always be target. Patrol check on and arrest special separatists in different area. Give village vocational knowledge and skill. What happened after the soldier come into the conflict area? Government officer and people got more protection, but most of the time, the soldier themselves are the target of attack. So people and officer are more scared to be with them. Many people were arrested, some with guilt and some are innocent. Some soldiers use violent tactics against the village, such as struck by event. There is mistrust between and among the village when the soldier hired someone the village to be their spy. These soldiers were attacked by separatists. Muslim civilians got arrested by soldiers. The people protested against Thai soldiers. The second, the government give assistance to their family, money, 500,000 baht or about 16,700 dollars for government officer, 200,000 baht or about 6,700 dollars for volunteer government officer, 100,000 baht or about 3,400 dollars for civilian. Scholarship grant for Bachelor of Arts degree, provide job in the government officer with a salary of 4,500 baht per month. Provide shelter for widow in Narathiwat. initiative of Asian Resource Foundation, ARF, and Asian Muslim Action Network, AMAN, for education, community learning center. Our activity are the students to come to study at the center with our volunteers who are experts of educational development. Our volunteers will teach language, life skill, and EQ promotion. Our volunteers do many home visits to make sure that parents of our students know and participate in the students' development. Okay, daycare center. We have a daycare center for preschool kids. Our volunteer will be both babysitter and teacher. We teach Islam and other subjects to the kids at the center and also provide activities that promote skills and development in moral EQ and IQ. The center opens from Monday to Friday. The center provides free lunch for kids every day. Scholarship grant. We give 50 scholarships in continuously good academic students every year to encourage them to continue with their student. We follow up closely with students who get our scholarship. And for livelihood, we have baking class for housewife. We have duck racing for the out of school and unemployed youth. We have nutrition and food processing for women. For peace building, course on peace building and conflict transformation for youth in Bondoc School. We provide knowledge on peace building and conflict transformation for students in Bondoc School to have more understanding about conflict and be able to provide violence, prevent violence. Excuse me. We encourage our youth to gain more knowledge in peace and use it in their daily life. Healing program. Healing youth effect from conflict. We organize group healing training, home visit, and networking among affected youth from different areas. We aim for our youth to be able to apply learned knowledge to themselves, friends, families, and community. We encourage to community to support the affected youth. Okay, thank you very much, and please feel free to visit the website. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much for very interesting and very thoughtful presentations. As a political scientist, we tend to pay more attention to the informal and peaceful negotiations and formal institutions, and I learned that we should pay more attention to the informal institutions and peace-building effort to be more useful, I suspect. I wish I could just hijack all of the presenters to my classroom to take over my lectures in the coming weeks when we discuss Southern Thailand and Southern Philippines, but unfortunately they're leaving tomorrow, right? So, in the remaining time, we would like to take a question from the floors, and please address your name and associations when you raise a question, please. any questions? It's a great opportunity to ask questions from the communities.
Hi, my name is Dan, and I grew up here at the university. I've traveled quite extensively around the world in a number of Muslim countries and places in Southeast Asia, like the countries you're talking about. My experience, this is from my perspective, in Singapore, which has a population that's about 15% Muslim, 9% Hindu, and about 75% Christian or Buddhist. And these are done on ethnic lines also. It's not just religious difference. Anyway, in my opinion, when I visit Singapore, I get the impression that the government has gone out of its way, well, maybe not out of its way, but has made a big effort to make everyone have the same opportunities. And you can do this in Singapore because it's very small. Is the problem really trying to get a solution like Singapore on a bigger scale? Or because much of this seems to be an economic problem that has been going on for a long, long time in your countries. And I'm just wondering if the need isn't to get the governments at the higher levels to say, okay, everybody in this country needs to have the same opportunities and the same education and all that. Just wondering how you compare your countries with, and the solutions you're going for with something like Singapore.
In Thailand, we are different from Singapore, which are in Thailand, majority is Buddhist, and minority are Muslim. And Singapore, as you just told me, now, there are Malayu, also Malayu Muslim, and there are Chinese, and there are Indian. It's and total of population also is so different. It's about in Singapore is small, and in Thailand is a little bit bigger. So in Thailand there are back historical background is so different because Malay Muslim always came there want to have their state, their own state. Because in history they have their own state of Sultanate Malay in Pattani province. But in Singapore they have no historical background like this. And you ask me about is the economic the effect of to the cause, the root cause of the problem or not? In Thailand, in Pattani, there are problem of economic also, but we are not came it the first of the problem, the roots of the problem. But they go into another case, like I'm already tell you in my presentation. So I did not mention here economic first, but I mentioned here the poverty of the people are first. They are poor people are there. Yes. I think maybe another one can share and can tell you also in this question, your answer.
Hi, I'm just a high school history teacher. And I'm just here to kind of gather information because I don't know very much about Thailand or the Philippines. But I had a question, being a high school teacher, and I know that some of you work with young adults, to what level are the Muslim populations within the two countries integrated on a daily basis? Do the Muslim students go to school with other students, or is it more of a segregated society? And does that lead to some of the misunderstanding about culture and a breakdown of dialogue of the two cultures?
In the case of the Philippines, we have different schools. We have private and public schools, and there are also what we call the madrasa schools. We have our co-delegate who works with the Department of Education, and there is a madrasa school or the Islamic school which actually has an Islamic curriculum. And other students, for example, I myself graduated from a Chinese school, so actually we interact with different students. So, but most of these students, for example, in the Luzon area, there are three major regions in the Philippines. Most of the, for example, Christian students are in the Luzon area. We have in the Visayas and in Mindanao. We also have some schools who accept both Christians and Muslim students, and there are also constant interaction between and among students.
If I yes, if I may add, from my experience with the Mindanao State University, I've been there for 7 years before I joined the broadcast. I was with the registrar's office. MSU was established purposely, one of its basic purpose, aside from the three major function of university, that means instruction, research, and extension, is to integrate the cultural minorities into the national body politics. And so in that university, even in the dormitories, they put students from different cultures within a room. However, there seems to be a problem because the Muslims realizes that integration is not a good policy. Because when you speak about integration, it is similar to assimilation, and the loss of identity is there. We do not want to lose our identity. So what happened later on is that there came to be some sort of a compromise. Instead of integration, we have now the policy of unity in diversity. Thank you.
In this case, I think we are the same with our brother in Philippines. But one thing I can mention here also is the percentage of Muslim youth Muslim is for education is increased. But question here is what kind of education they take here, because maybe education is not mean for peace building or for the peace of community or society. So it's a question mark for our people also and for you all also here.
I just have two questions, one very simple and one a little more difficult maybe. The first one is just, what is EQ exactly? I knew IQ, but I didn't know EQ. And then the other is about the violence in southern Thailand. I mean, it seems perhaps from the outside that it's, you know, erupted relatively recently, and that the very serious violence has been, you know, just in the last 4 or 5 years. So what do you think, why now? That's the question I have for you. Why is it taking place right at this moment?
Can I to Pam, can you help?
I'm sorry, EQ is emotional quotient. Yeah, so deal with the moral than the emotion of people more than the side of the interest.
And situation in Thailand, you ask me why now? Someone tell us this maybe because of toxin. Someone tell like that. But truth or not, we don't think it happened because of only because of toxin general policy. But we think it's on mixed together of many factor or root cause, as I already told you in my presentation. It's not just only because of historical background. Everyone, or because of there are minority there, because every country there are minority. So it's a waiting, it's mixed together, and in the good time to happen, I remember. And maybe toxin is within of this thing. Thank you.
Is there any more questions? Okay. Probably I would like to take advantage of the privilege as the moderator. My question has to do with probably the previous question, which Kathy posed about Southern Thailand, but why now? We often hear that fundamental problem in those regions has very much to do with this ineffective and corrupt state organization, particularly security forces such as police force and armed officers, right? So my question is, and this one has to do with this problem which you mentioned about taxing administrations. Mm-hmm. My question is, if that is the case, is there any effort at the grassroots level, kind of to have and develop dialogue between the non-government organization, which you discussed at length today, and state organizations such as police and security forces? I think it seems to me that that is really crucial and important.
There are many efforts of government also, and especially Sonja. They try to go to the grassroots and go to meet villagers and try to understand them also. But it's not on of part of Sonja to do like this. But they still do like Rambo or like American soldier to go to everywhere and like a hero and not go like a person who come from the villager. So there are many the anti, and but there are some group of soldier also they can be with a Muslim villager and can be and can have conversation and can live together. But in some area, in some district, they cannot be. Even they blame another. They don't make the conversation anymore, because in native people, some of them cannot speak even in Thai, but Sonja cannot speak in Malay. So they cannot have conversation between them. Government send Thai soldier from northern part of Thailand or northeast part of Thailand. Okay, they don't know anything about this area, about these people in this area. So how they can connect with them? This is a problem of our government. It's not misunderstanding between them. And we try that thing when we got in this we got this court, we try to make people to understand what we should be, when what's the future of our life, of our people to be in the future of our people. So this we try hard. You see, our STPN and my colleagues and my friends of colleagues of Islamic study in Yala. They try hard to do this thing good for our people and to be the good Muslim and the good citizen of Thailand also. Yeah, I think so.
Can we take more further questions from the floor? Okay. So if that is the case, probably shall we close the session. Thank you very much for wonderful and exciting presentation.
You're welcome. Please.